Welcome to Straight Outta Hull, the podcast about the Hull music scene of the 1980s and 1990s. The beautiful South's meow coincided with a low period in Paul's life. The departure of Brianna, who disliked some of the lyrics for meow, coincided with personal upheavals elsewhere. Is meow depressed? This fan didn't pick it up. The best House Martins and Beautiful South lyrics to this point had all been melancholic. Larkin with the piano and guitar. The fans didn't notice the blue tinge that would last for a couple of albums because it had always been there. Meow sounds like a country record at first. The only thing missing is Alison Krauss with her bluegrass fiddle. It's a vibe that Paul and Jackie are still following today. The tracks which stand out clearest in our memory are Prettiest Eyes, quite an upbeat song, and Everybody's Talkin', which, although not exactly a pop feel-good song, is certainly not a depressing one. However, Everybody's Talking is a cover of a 1966 hit by the long-forgotten Fred Neil. Good as Gold did well, and its line about carrying on regardless gave the band a title for its eventual greatest hits record, Carry On Up the Charts. Meow was the album where Jackie Abbott learned how to sing into a microphone, and how to sing in front of frighteningly large crowds. It's important to note that she was not a professional singer when Paul first noticed her, and her learning curve was steep. The album introduced Jackie's stunning voice to an audience that welcomed her. Although Brianna had sounded angelic, the fans didn't really miss her much at the gigs. There was something honest about Jackie's voice, and something that just worked with Paul and Dave's songs, especially the sarcastic ones. The future of the Beautiful South was secured, even if nobody quite knew how to label the kind of music they were producing. No such wobbles had been experienced by another Hull band. Another Paul shacked up with some other Hull mates to power another unique female voice into the charts around the world. Even if nobody knew how to say it, Sade were heading for the big time. Sade is the singing name of Helen Adu, but we are drawn to another man named Paul, the wonderfully named Paul Denman. Bassist Paul, Andrew Hale on keys, and Stuart Matthewman on guitars and sax were all from Hull. This Paul, Paul Spencer Denman, is genuinely from Hull. He was born a full 8 years before Paul Heaton. Denman has pulled off a similar trick to Mick Ronson, blending into the background of an international hit machine. The bassist nobody has ever heard of, Denman plays on some of the best-known songs of the 1980s and beyond. And although Sade never broke up, Denman and pals managed to handle playing in their breakaway R&B act, Sweetback, which gave them another outlet for their creativity when they weren't working with Adu. Sade played their debut gig at Ronnie Scott's in December of 1982. Although perhaps Smooth Operator is their most famous song, they started with Your Love is King, which today has over 83 million plays on Spotify. Meanwhile, Smooth Operator is struggling up towards 14 million. Yes, Diamond Life, Sade's debut 1984 album, was the real deal. It was quadruple platinum and stayed in the top 10 of the album charts for over 6 months. Smooth Operator broke the band in America, and the album duly entered the US top 10. They performed at Live Aid in 1985, which firmly cements them in 1980s pop royalty. Their second album, Promise, hit number one in both the US and the UK. Awards and sales continued, and a song appeared in the 1993 hit Demi Moore and Robert Redford movie, Indecent Proposal. That label again, sophisti-pop, ties Sade to everything but the girl. But Sade's music is sometimes also known as neo-soul. However much music journalists like to play with labels, we prefer to reflect on the ongoing success of Sade, powered along by a Hull backing band. Unlike the House Martins, Beautiful South, FYC, Scarlet, and so many others, Sade never disbanded. They have managed to hold themselves together in storms which eventually exploded all the other Hull bands of the time. Opened in 1981, the year after the tidal barrier over the more famous Hull River, the Humber Bridge was the longest suspension bridge on Earth. These two structures remain the only significant features on the Hull skyline, with the exception of the concrete monstrosity of Hull Royal Infirmary. After things started dropping off the hospital, it spent years covered in scaffolding. After the mask was finally removed, popular gossip suggested that the new cladding was highly flammable. Such is the way sometimes, you try to improve something and something else cocks up. So it goes. At least we tried. The tolls at the Humber Bridge were eye-watering, and so nobody used it, but also because it didn't go anywhere. Once it became clear that the debt would never be erased, it was finally written off. The Tories built the bridge, and they later wiped out the debt, but it still didn't go anywhere. The Humber Bridge only made sense if it was joined to London and Newcastle by the promised East Coast motorway to rival the M6. It never happened. Still, a bridge doesn't have to go anywhere to be influential. It towers over Hull and provides a fabulous sight for people approaching by train or road. Surely only an amazing cosmopolitan futuristic city could have the world's longest suspension bridge. By the time you realise this is a false prospectus, it's too late to turn around. Joe Longthorne was not able to turn around because he was born in Hull. Born 30 years after David Whitfield in 1955, Joe followed a similar route to stardom. It was in 1981, on LWT's answer to Opportunity Knocks, called Search for a Star, that Joe hit the big time. His family came from a travelling background, and Joe grew up in the Hessel Road area. Joe played the London Palladium several times, and by 1988 had his own show on TV. Joe could also do impressions, and his Shirley Bassey was especially noted. His skill at combining comedy and music is rare indeed, and led to a spot on Les Dennis's laughter show. Joe became an MBE and moved to Blackpool with his husband and manager, James Moran, where he died on the 3rd of August 2019. Joe struggled with cancer from as early as 1987, but this could not dim his charismatic personality or voice. He was an entertainer from the same cloth as David Whitfield, a gifted singer who never seriously tried to write his own songs. Like Whitfield, Joe Longthorne was earmarked for singing success from an early age. One of our family stories is of Joe as a toddler at nursery school near Hessel Road, entertaining the other kids. He was only 14 when he joined Yorkshire Television's Junior Showtime and is fondly remembered. Beer is an important part of pub life, and it's an important part of this story. Thanks to a man named Chris for suggesting it. We knew another Chris once, and he built a pub in his Hull garden. Yes, if music is Hull, then beer is part of Hull music. The song that most reminds us of Paul Heaton is Liar's Bar. Spoken in a tuneless growl, the song is an anthem for anyone who has ever spent an afternoon alone in a city pub, pretending not to be lonely or self-conscious. people have been quick to write off the future of beer many times. Today's microbreweries bear little resemblance to what we were told was high-quality stuff in the 1970s. Brands such as Tetley's in Leeds sponsored cricket, and Boddington's in Manchester struck gold with their 1990s ads pretending it was ice cream. It wasn't gorgeous then either, but it didn't matter. Hull's brewery never hit popular consciousness in the same way, but there are smaller brews coming to the market now which taste great, so they tell me. The famous brewery buildings near Hull's new theatre, with their trademark footbridge, are now offices, a development which possibly riled Paul Heaton, just as the thrusting soulless skyscrapers of Nouveau Manchester do today. The beautiful South once owned a Hull bike shop, but they never owned a Hull pub. Paul preferred to wait until he had relocated to Salford before giving that business a tryout. Perhaps the main brace could not be improved on, but these bars which poured beer down Hull throats also forced live music into its ears. The pubs provided the stage for our little dramas. Another Mick, aka Woody Woodmansey, was a Driffield drummer. He is linked to Mick Ronson via John Cambridge, the drummer who recruited Ronson to the Spiders from Mars. Although sometimes seen now as David Bowie's backing band, the Spiders were more talented and important than that. When Cambridge left the Spiders, Woody took his place, as he had done before. Woody went around the world, helping to make Spiders probably the most successful Hull backing band nobody ever heard of, but everyone knows. We have one last visit to make to the beautiful South. After Meow, Paul and Dave began writing songs for Jackie to sing for the first time. When they had started work on Meow, it had been Brianna they had in mind. This time, they knew exactly who would be recording Blue is the Colour, and the album became a massive success. Perhaps it was too sad for too much of the time, but this fan didn't notice. Sweary anthems like Don't Marry Her, including lines about sweaty bollocks, cheered us up as we hid beneath the clouds in Manchester and studied for our college exams. Ingeniously, in the radio edit, sweaty bollocks turned into Sandra Bullocks. History does not record the Hollywood actor's reaction. Rotterdam and Hull have a lot in common, but as Jackie says, Rotterdam is anywhere, anywhere alone. For us, it was Manchester by that time, but it truly could have been any great northern town or village. We didn't notice that Artificial Flowers was too sentimental, and we weren't put off by Paul's growly rendition of Liar's Bar that sounded funny and true to us, yet frightened the BBC Radio 2 crowd. The LGBTQ community found something in Blackbird on the Wire that spoke to them, making Paul very much pleased. The News of the World, in another world and a lifetime earlier, had previously tried to damage the House Martins by suggesting they were a gay band, making them angry for all kinds of reasons, not least because the paper carefully calculated that it would damage the band in the unenlightened 1980s. Now, just 10 years later, things were beginning to change. Don't Marry Her has reached almost 15 million hits on Spotify, and Rotterdam has over 20 million. There was something here in these downbeat songs of melancholy that hit a chord and spoke to millions of people. The beautiful South were here to stay and continued recording into the 2000s. We cannot leave this story without a brief look backwards at Philip Larkin. If David Whitfield had first brought choirboy vocals to the post-war Hull ear and found willing listeners across the whole world, it was Larkin, the imported librarian from Coventry, who provides a precursor to this tale in his poems of sarcasm and cynicism. The act of combining these two worlds angelic vocals with serious dark lyrics was a job that would have to wait for Paul Heaton, another import, this time from Manchester via Sheffield and Surrey. But Larkin was not relentlessly sarcastic or drab. After spending his early years railing against a boring, monotonous job he called the toad work, he eventually comes to realise that the humdrum routine of being a university librarian saved him from being too much like himself. Larkin might otherwise have ended up as a tramp in a park, Pearson Park, a fate which almost belonged to Paul and Stan as they mirthlessly played on the swings during the meeting which finally killed off the House Martins. It wasn't the same park, as far as we know, but it was less than a mile away. What Paul and his friends showed us, the 1980s kids of Hull, was that you could sing a happy melody while talking about doom and destruction, and that there was no contradiction in that at all. What Paul showed us, as we played on swings of our own and eventually spread our wings, was that life is both happy and sad, and quite often at the same time. So why not make music that is truthful to the reality? They showed us that pop needn't be relentlessly upbeat. At a time when Duran Duran tried to tell us life was all money and champagne, yachts and water skiing. We hope you enjoyed this first series of Straight Outta Hull, conceived as our tribute to the Hull bands of our childhood, a childhood enjoyed in Hull, a place nobody else knows about. If none of the bands made it into the third decade of the 2000s, most of the individuals within them certainly have. Roland Gift has big plans, and Paul and Jackie continue to sing together, appearing on the smash hit game show Pointless in December 2020, with Paul, unknown to anyone at the time, nursing a bout of COVID-19. Yes, they've kept up with the times in every way. Norman is still off spinning his discs somewhere, and Sade remain a unit, although it's been a while since their last album. Ben and Tracy continue to work in the music industry and have released various compilations of their work, even though Everything But The Girl has not made any new music since 2000. We hope to have lifted the veil on Yorkshire's best-kept secret, Hull, a city with an old and famous history that tripped up a little in the 1970s, but has now found itself as a provider of internet technologies, chemicals, pharmaceuticals, and wind-powered electricity to the world. We have simultaneously reminded those thousands of kids who grew up with us there in Hull in that 20-year stretch between 1980 and the millennium that Hull had a lot going for it, and still does. And perhaps we have introduced these bands to new ears. It's been a blast, and we hope to return later in 2021. Don't forget, you can hear all of the songs mentioned in our show on the Spotify playlist at outerhull.uk. Thank you for listening to this series. We are looking for sponsors, including Hull companies, for a second season. Would you like more Hull music? Or perhaps an introduction to the acting talent of Hull? All will be revealed, or not. Straight Outta Hull is presented by Lindsay Frost. It is written and produced by Paul Detman for WTD Audio. We'd like to end with the following words from Paul and Jackie. We're joined so tightly at the hip, like mushy pea and salty chip. Front of council truck to Lucky Heather, you and me were meant to be together.